You're now tuned into the Fully Booked Podcast with Mace, French, and Pox. Enjoy the listen. Where to go? Tell me where to go. Use my inner voice. Tell me where to go. Tell me where to go.
We are easily distracted. We engage in selective listening, hearing only what we want to hear. Our minds acting on cognitive bias for consistency rather than truth. And that's just the start. That's on page 27. Do you actively listen when in heated conversation or hold on to your point before responding?
I feel like it depends who I'm speaking to. Actually, more often than not, I would definitely actively listen. More often than not, I'll actively listen. There might be a point and I lose it though. That's the only thing, as in not lose it and go mad, as in I lose what I was going to say because it's moved on. So that's the only thing sometimes, if like you're engaging in a heated debate or argument and someone raises something, you're like, you got them on this. Well, not got them, but this. And then sometimes I can lose my trail of thought because it's moved on so quick. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be nipped in the bud. I don't like to do it to other people as well.
Yeah.
Say your piece and I'll say my piece, kind of thing.
You know what the question was?
Yeah, I do know what the question was.
Because you seem to have got it mixed up with the other one.
I can tell you word for word.
It was different.
However, I can answer the question because I have the answer before I answered my anyway. I think you should listen, you know, before responding, but obviously in a heated discussion, more often than not, you kind of like go with your gut, which is to respond straight away or respond to the first thing you feel you've got the person on in some respect. Mm. But I think it's advantageous to listen to the person so you can actually respond correctly.
Yeah.
That's what I think anyway.
But do you?
I think as I'm getting a bit more older or certainly a bit more mature, I think I am beginning to listen to or understand to respond. Or a bit of both, really.
What do you mean understand?
So
are you saying that you actively listen?
It's mad actually, because I don't know if I'm going to
be speaking to the mic as well. Like,
sorry?
Can you hear me clearly?
I can't hear you, but that goes back to what we were talking about earlier as to the issues. So hopefully it picks up well. I think you have a different type of conversation when you listen to understand rather than
listen to respond.
Yeah. I guess there's a bit more empathy, I guess, when you're listening to understand rather than listening to respond. I guess what I'm thinking about is, like, how does it work when you have a mix of the two?
Well, wanting to respond but listening still?
Yeah, because I think...
Well, it's almost like... I guess you can, you might try and compartmentalize those flash of thoughts of I'm going to respond to that, but you continue listening. So, okay, I'm make a mental note that I'm going to respond to that within my response.
Cool. I was just going to say that because I think when you're listening to understand or when you're in that situation, I think there are things which you want to respond with, but you go, I'm going to park that for a moment and I'm going to listen and understand. And then I'm going to raise this point at another given point. Or another time further down the line in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But then you have to really hold on to those things, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess obviously that's the art of conversation and negotiation. I'm joking. It's bad. All right. Bad joke. Go on. I'm the only one laughing. Was that bad as a joke? That was a decent joke. Oh, boy. Oh god.
We move.
We move. Must be the great joke.
Definitely not. For those people who view negotiation as a battle of arguments, it's the voices in their own head that are overwhelming them. When they are not talking, they're thinking about their arguments. And when they are talking, they're making arguments. When deliberating on a negotiating strategy or approach, people tend to focus all their energies on what to say or do, but it's how we are, our general demeanour and delivery, that is both the easiest thing to enact and most immediately effective mode of influence. Our brains don't just process and understand the actions and words of others, but their feelings and intentions too. The social meaning of their behaviour and their emotions. On a mostly unconscious level, we can understand the minds of others, not through any kind of thinking, but through quite literally grasping what the other is feeling. That's on page 32. So how sensitive or aware are you to someone else's feelings without verbalization?
Someone close or just someone random that you might see?
Could be both.
Don't know.
Start with someone close to maybe.
I think it's easier because if it's someone close, it's easier because if you are around them or have been around them in your past or on a regular occurrence, you'll know when something's a bit off because they're not their normal self. Do you get what I'm saying? So you can kind of pick up on that.
So, you know, so
go on.
So I was going to say, like, just from going in certain environments, you can pick up on energy.
Yeah.
You can change, you can feel the energy in the room change.
Yeah, that.
Just without having to talk to this person, I could just see your body language. I can just feel your energy's off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's, I would consider for my personally, not like highly sensitive, like I know every single, I can feel everything, but in terms of, I know the signs and symptoms of this is about to go left somewhere or it's bubbling. I can sense it's bubbling. So either we're kicking out or whatever the notion may be. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, a good example of that is, I think I explained to you guys, when I was in the Netherlands with my partner and we were at her parents, I think I mentioned there was one evening that all of a sudden everyone's just speaking Dutch in the room and I'm kind of getting just like, did I explain this to you guys?
No.
Was it not you guys I explained
no,
this
you
to?
Do.
There was one evening, I think I said, I'm going to bed. Like, because I was in the living room sitting there. Remember the TV's Dutch?
Yeah, I remember you saying
so. So I'm just
that,
sitting there, but like, my partner's only speaking to her parents in Dutch. They're only responding in Dutch when the mum speaks English. I'm like, and no one's engaging with man. So I was like, fuck am I, like, what the fuck am I sitting here for?
How long did this conversation go on for?
It's going on for a good, like, maybe hour or so. I was like, just chatting. But, but you know, like, yeah, so picking up, I was like, this ain't normal. Like, normally I feel welcomed and everyone's making an effort. So I was just like, fuck it, I'm going to bed, man. It was early. I said, fuck it, I'm going to bed. And it just, like, I spoke about it with my partner after, like, whether it was a day or 2 days after. We were leaving the next day to come back to the UK. So all it wasn't anything personally against me, but it was almost like all it was, obviously she was obviously upset because we'd been there for so long and it was time to come to be going home. Not to say I was to blame, but I don't have to explain. It's almost like you take some people take things out on those who are closest to them. And that was almost her way of taking out on me without taking out on me. Just being offish, just proper, just like,
okay.
Just being offish, like just having conversations in Dutch for the evening. When man's sitting in the room like some lemon, just sitting there, going like that, playing tennis with my head, like not understanding shit. I was like, fuck it, man, I'm going to bed. So I just said, fuck it. Good night. I just went up, took myself upstairs.
So what about like taking it away from
close?
What about like in the work environment when you're with colleagues and someone might come in and they're on a, they've got, you could, I don't know, for me anyway, I can normally pick up when someone's a bit like not their normal self today.
Yeah.
Especially if I work, well, working
it's the same
proximity.
It's the same thing that I was saying, and that if it's someone who I have regular contact with and I know how they are usually, then I can definitely pick up if there's been a change. Like, whether either it's a positive or a negative change in their demeanour, and just they don't have to say anything to me, I can just pick it up.
Yeah.
If it's someone I'm not familiar with, then that might be their everyday demeanour, but maybe I'm not used to that, so I might think, oh, right, the energy's kind of off. But actually, that just might be them. Do you get what I'm saying? And I just don't know them.
I think you both covered it quite well, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was gonna say body language, but I guess that fits in between a lot of what you both said. I know you said energy, which is a little bit different, but I guess body language might be the first.
That plays a part.
Yeah, 100%. Plays a part. The first thing I would have said is body language, really. If they're not verbalizing, I think you could definitely see in, like, how they...
moving.
Yeah, let's say how they're moving. I was going to try to find another word, but yeah, how they're moving. It might be in their face, their shoulders. But energy is, I think, a very good one. But it made me think, and not it's a bad example, but you might have remembered, like, back in the day, you know when something's about to kick off?
Yeah,
This is what I'm saying.
You see the way men are moving. Yeah. And you, 100%.
Know that tension.
Yeah.
I mean, you said...
Oh, funny, I'm going to tell you a story.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, no, we can. It's not this guy.
You go on. No.
It was my brother's birthday on Friday. Yeah,
yeah.
I had a busy weekend actually, but it was my brother's birthday on Friday. So we went Burger and Lusters in St Paul's, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, have you lots heard about that F1 thing, the arcade simulator thing?
You mentioned it, yeah.
You mentioned.
Yeah. So we done that. He booked that, yeah. So it's about maybe, it's mainly his boys, but a few L's, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's there because it's his group, basically. And then my brethren, whose birthday it was, and then his boys, who I've met before. So anyway, we was at Burger and Lobsters eating the food and whatever, and then these men start talking about, they went out to a rave. They were out, and then someone said, oh, there's a dance in Tottenham, let's go there. So they went to a dance in Tottenham. So straight away I said, whoa, what you you man doing a dance in Tottenham? Anyway, there was on a table, and then there was with like, there's a couple of girls with them as well. Then something's happened, and there's a group of guys on the table next to them. Something's happened, but nothing major. Like, it's something minor. Like, they thought that the guys next to them had like, potentially taken one of their bottles of Rare Nephew or something like that. Cause they had drinks and they didn't know. So one of the girls that my people was with, or my boy and his people was with, started kicking off at the guy, innit? So the guy now has tapped like one of my brethren's people and took out his ting and put it on the table. Yeah, like that, just put his ting on the table. So everyone's like, he's like, you man are cool, yeah? But you see her? She's gonna get you killed tonight. So you wanna put that energy? What my brethren said is, like basically it's one of them ones where they've gone and calmed down the girl. My brethren's like, yo, let's go. I got three kids. You know what I'm saying? Talking about energy. Mm. Something like that happens. You know the energy. As you said, something about to pop off. I don't need to be in that environment. No. Someone's bringing a thing in the dance and going like that. It's going, bad energy is the far away, boy.
Those stories only end up one way. Not necessarily in regards to you getting hurt, but somebody is getting hurt. And that's now rolling the dice.
Yeah, once that, something like that, if I'm having a great time in the dance and I see your hair or something, so the fact someone in there's got their, like, people, I've probably been in bare environments, people have got their thing. I don't need to be seeing that's there. As soon as I see that's there, I'm like, you know what happens at the end of a dance? People hovering, lingering, you know, something stupid. I'll probably do the same. Be like, you know what? Oh, fuck it, I'm cutting out. Someone in has got their something on
quite
there.
Quite comfortable putting the table.
Yeah, I think apparently a couple of his boys were like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Yeah.
So the next one. Smile at someone on the street, and as a reflex, they smile back. Understanding that reflex and putting it into practice is critical to the success of just about every negotiating skill there is to learn. Do you think you're a good negotiator?
I feel like I've gotten and getting better. I feel like I was poor before. I feel like I'm a lot better now because a book goes into it, but it's almost like, I won't spoil the book, but one of the things is about is just being... You know I like that. There's a couple of phrases I've noted, but anyway, so like I've got better, and part of it we discussed earlier in the season is to do with my role and contracts, and in fact I have to, there's give or take there, so I have to, and just in everyday life, you kind of have to negotiate with things. Obviously if you go into a supermarket like a Sainsbury's and something's £2, you can't get to talk about it. I'll give you 170 for it.
Haggling in that.
Do you get what I'm saying? But if you're in a, you know how it goes with, maybe it's a market trader or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not really no set fees, 2 for 5, 10 for, like you can, I remember even from when I was young.
And you pay with cash.
There you go. Cash is king. But even when I was young, I remember like going to like, Mile End or one of them. Cause that used to be a place to go to do your clothes shopping and that back in the day when we were kids, like before we were kids that we were let out by ourselves. I went with my dad to like Mile End. I remember, we'd go into like clothes shops, which you'd think you can't haggle, but he'd go in there and be like, "All right, cool. If I take these three tops, what are you gonna give me off?" Like my dad would just be straight like that. Do you get what I'm saying? So I'll just pick, you just pick those things up from young. Oh, not pick them up, but I've just noticed there's always a, there's always room, or in most cases, room for maneuver. Mm. My partner, on the other hand, she feels super awkward with stuff like that. So even like we're having works done at that, at our new place. And like the quote come in, I was like, nah, like tell him this, this, this. No, and then she was like, oh, do you mind telling him? Like, I was like, yeah, fine. Like, he's gonna, he wants the work, because he wants to get paid, and we need the work done. But he needs to know we've got options. Do you get what I'm saying? So we got it. I think it was only like 600 quid off, but it's still something.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah,
terrible. Like I said, but yeah, I know this from the jump. Even listening to the book, I know I'm terrible.
Yeah,
like I'm amazed with the knows the beginning of the negotiation.
You're jumping too far.
Sorry.
Oh, I've lost my train of thought. I was gonna say, I actually, part of me now enjoys it. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, enjoy getting, yeah. And I think that, because even when I tell you, man, that man will go three different supermarkets, like, because 60p off hair or whatever.
Mm.
That all plays, that's all part of it. Like, right, where can I get it cheaper? Do you get what I'm saying? How can I get this cheaper? How can I get this? Do you get what I'm saying? It might be, so I think I kind of, a part of me kind
you
of
just
enjoys
have to
it.
Go to different supermarkets.
It's not just that. That is one of the factors. Well. That is one of the factors.
Like to check out.
But I like numbers, and I like.
Hmm. What's the front fit is looking? What's the front saying?
I think a part of me just enjoys it. Like, just does enjoy that kind of, just little, like, I don't know, just, it's something in me just likes that. That's that little hag. I'm not saying I'm fucking Billy from the West End, but you know what I'm saying, or the East End of London. But something in me does like that kind of
haggle,
wheel and deal kind of juggle. Not, and it might be a little £30 here or 50, but I don't know. It's something. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
I might search for something. Like, you lot just saw me looking for fridge freezers, and I'm like, right, I might buy it from Amazon, because, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just little things like that. Other people I know will just go on one website. It's there. That's my product. Bam. They don't want to deal with the hassle and stress. Mm-hmm. They just want bang, 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 done. I'm more like, I'll take that extra hour and find it for £60 cheaper eventually. Mm-hmm. Or find a coupon over here that can go over here. That's how I am.
See, I've never really sat and thought of a negotiation almost being a game of poker. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to play poker, but I'm just using that. Never really thought of that. It's almost like no means no, and then like we're done, if that makes any sense. So, but speaking to your partner and, let's say, feeling uncomfortable in negotiation, I think there might be a part of that in me. Or actually, you know, I don't want to play stupid games. Let's, I want to get to this end of this negotiation or this conversation very quickly. And the moment we get into a back and forth, not that I give in, it's like, I don't know, just say it's 60. Like, cool. 60, cool. I just want to get out of here. You know, or I just want to finish this and tick it off. And in fact, I've become quite not a tick box person, but once it's done, I can like get off my to-do list, if that makes any sense.
So something's coming back to me again. So I do like the negotiation. It's all coming back to me. Me and my other half were in Mexico. So we've gone into some shop, like one of these jewelry shops that sells silver rings and that. And she's seen a ring that she likes, innit? So I'm like, leave it to me. Like, cause she's like, oh, I really like the ring, but it's too expensive. I was like, all right, cool. Bruv, no word of a lie, we went in and out the shop 4 times during that evening at different times over the course of maybe 4 hours. Because I was like going in there, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I've only got like, I'll have like a little bit of cash and I'll be like, look, turn out my pockets. She's holding the rest of my money. Turn out my pockets. This is what I've got. Nah, I can't do it. Boss, come on. You know, the girl, the lady, she really loves it. You're not going to do this. I'm proper into all that, you know. I don't, because part of it, I know I'm never going to see these people. I can't remember what shop it was. I can't remember who it was that I spoke to. I'm not going to see them again.
Bit of fun.
Yeah, and I just love the haggle. And in the end, I think I ended up going and I got a little discount, but I didn't get the discount I wanted. But okay. I still bought it because she desperately wanted it.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You got to be willing to... Are you willing to walk away?
Mm.
Like, or not? Like, because that plays into as well, like, how much you're going to haggle. Are you willing to lose out or walk away if you don't get it for the price in your head you want?
Yeah. In that scenario, definitely. Because in different scenarios, I guess, in relation to the offer, sometimes you can't really depend on the, because obviously it's an FBI agent, so
yeah, hostage,
it depends on the scenario that you can determine. Right, do you know what, I can walk away from this,
like, yeah,
in those sort of situations
there's none of you can't
turn him back,
yeah, exactly.
That's a good perspective as well, I think. With the book, the idea that he's an FBI agent, it gives us an idea of the angle that he plays with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it was someone else, I can't think of an example, it would feel maybe a little bit different.
Mm. Yeah, no, definitely. For me personally, I think I'm okay. Sometimes I can be like yourself, P, and I'm just like, just whatever the price is, cool. And cool. That's what it is. Then there's other times I could get in my bag like yourself and be like, nah, I'm not paying that. And like you said, be willing to walk away. Like, meet me here. Otherwise, that's it.
Mm.
Yeah. It's fun. It is fun sometimes, especially when you do it with boss, man. And like, give you like a, whatever, like, for, I went into the shop the other day for, like an iPhone cable or something like that, and I just had to haggle him down. He was only literally a couple pounds. He wasn't going to go any lower.
Mm.
But it was just like that back and forth. But it was just fun, though. It was just, yeah, it wasn't like nothing serious. It's just to sharpen your skills kind of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, so I'm beginning, sorry, not that I like negotiation, but there's a very, there's not a short fuse. It's, yeah, I don't like playing the game, and I feel maybe there's a, I don't have time to be playing games with you either.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I 100% hear that.
So if we both have the same to lose, I'm more likely to lose. Because I think
willing
there's
to take the loss, basically.
Yeah, that's what I think.
To gain, maybe it could be a case of gaining to take the loss and seeing it as a bigger win just to get the negotiation over.
True, but at the same, yeah, that, I mean, I'm sure there's an example or time when that does happen. But I also feel the mind games, I just don't think I'm strong enough. I don't think I've been strong enough in those negotiations. But I'm thinking, like, there's a couple of shops like in Greenford and Oxford area where I sometimes bounce between, like, might be buying something. And I might ask one guy, okay, how much is this? How much is that? And it's like, I ain't got time for that. I'm really like, and there's no negotiation is, I know it's cheaper over there. I ain't got time to be dealing with you lot. And that's it, I just go over there. Sorry, not talking to them in that manner.
Yeah.
But I just go where it's cheaper. So yeah, I'm thinking there's an element of, not a short fuse, but just, yeah, I'll say time. Yeah. It's interesting though, because I hadn't really thought of it like that.
Before I left, what do you mean?
I've not thought of why I feel I'm not good at negotiation at all. Like, there's examples in a book where I'm like, I just find it interesting and funny, as in, like, I'm consciously thinking about, okay, the mirroring, you know?
Yeah.
And there's another term as well, he used as well. I'm like, oh, that's bloody interesting, you know, because like, you can see them now in your everyday life, or even how you've used them unconsciously. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah.
Or how they've been used on you.
Yeah. Because you used it on me last week, like on the Sunday. I forget what the conversation was. I think it was mirroring, but I mean, yeah. So now you're thinking, okay, cool. You know what I mean? That brings out that response. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And again, language is just a game of instruction and response, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you really think about it.
Yeah, understanding.
Yeah.
So talking slowly and clearly convey one idea. I'm in control. When you inflict an upward, you invite a response. Why? Because you brought a measure of uncertainty. You've made a statement sound like a question. You've left the door open for the other guy to take lead. So I was careful here to be quiet and self-assured. Page 34. And just as we just mentioned, mirroring. Mirroring, also called isopraxism, is essentially imitation. It's another neurobehavior humans and other animals display, in which we copy each other to comfort each other. It can be done with speech patterns, body language, vocabulary, tempo, and tone of voice. It's generally an unconscious behavior. We are rarely aware of it when it's happening, but it's a sign that people are bonding in sync and establishing the kind of rapport that leads to trust. That's on page 35. Can you recognize and recall when you've mirrored someone or vice versa?
I can't give a specific example at this point, but I think it's something I naturally do, you know? Mm.
Don't think too hard, mate. You might out yourself.
I know. No. I'm really trying to think of any specific examples. But sometimes I might just be there and I don't know. What happened?
Kicked his knee against the...
Yeah, like, so for instance, someone might say, like, someone said, I've been feeling poorly. So I said, yeah, I haven't been feeling well. Like, do you like that? That's the kind of, like, I might do, I can't think of a specific example.
Yeah, I'll get you.
So, yeah, I think it's something I do naturally do.
I imagine I do the same, but I think I do it when I'm buying time. I think he mentions that in the book, but, like, yeah, when I'm buying time. So I know what the person said. I just need to buy time to respond to what they said.
So do you repeat what they say?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the reason why, to buy time. Or it might come as a shock, because it's like, Jesus Christ, and then you repeat what they say, and then bam, then I have a response. Mm. I don't think I'm that tactile, but I think that's the reason why I've done it, or do it.
I think we all naturally do it, because mm-hmm. that's how we learned to be human. We mirrored our parents, we mirrored those around us to know how to walk, to interact with each other, know when to give a hug, when to, do you know what I mean? So we've been mirroring from the time we was babies, do you know what I mean?
I think that obviously there are definitely other reasons as well. I'm even thinking as to, you know, when someone says something really interesting, you know, and you repeat, and you, I think sometimes you naturally repeat it to yourself, even quietly, because you're kind of like thinking about every single word they said and why they said it. I don't know if I'm making sense. Yeah, just thinking a bit deeper about what they've said, even the tones, the tonality, and like how it makes sense.
If it's something impactful.
Oh, like even like with some of your questions, like sometimes we repeat them back to ourselves, you know, because we're thinking a bit more deeply as to what does he mean by that, or how does that, how am I going to respond, you know?
Yeah. All right. So for the FBI, a mirror is when you repeat the last three words or critical 1 to 3 words of what someone has just said. Of the entirety of the FBI's hostage negotiation skill set, mirroring is the closest one gets to a Jedi mind trick. Simple and yet uncannily effective.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks about a group of waiters, and basically there's a set that use positive reinforcement versus repeating the order back, and the results were that the waiters that mirrored got 70% more tips. You see that? There wasn't a question there, but I was going to make a point, but it's just slipped my mind. I always try to reinforce the message that being right isn't the key. Might come back to that, actually. I always try to reinforce the message that being right isn't the key to a successful negotiation. Having the right mindset is. That's on page 43. How to confront and get your way without confrontation. Do you see negotiations or confrontations play out in the workplace environment? And can you recall any examples?
Yeah. Can I recall any examples? Yeah, they play out every day. Well, I work from home, so they're just playing out in my head probably. But no, when I was office-based, you see that shit all the time, man. You see some people are really big bollocks, and they got all the talk, and they want to speak over people, and that's them kind of emphasize the point. Other people are more, not calculating, but they'll like lower the tone, like they'll just like bring it back down to they'll keep their volume low and keep it, do you know what I mean? You see it all the time, man. Like you see, examples, man. I need to come back to it, but there must be examples that I can think of. It happens all the time where like it's negotiations and yeah, conversations all the time. Trying to get to a final point. I was on site on, what day is it today? Tuesday, Monday. And I was asking about something to be installed. Someone lied, basically. They lied, but I didn't pick, like, they didn't lie on Monday, they lied a couple of weeks ago. And then when I brought it up on Monday, they said, no, I didn't say that, I said this. But I left it. I said, you know what? I still need something done here. So I'm not trying to piss them off too much. I still actually need, whether they lied or not, they said they were going to do something, and they said, no, we said we'll look into if we could do something. Does that make sense? Rather than pointing back and saying, you're a liar, I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, we need it done. This is the reason why we need it done. And so, you know, can it be done? And then they walked out the room, spoke to their like technical team to find, like, do you know what I mean? The conversation went like that. And this time I said to, so I have like a consultant with me, and I said, this needs to go into the minutes, because there's a formalized set of minutes that go out every month. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing is it was recorded in the minutes the month before, but they said that she got the minutes. Do you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It might get to the point you have to get shit recorded. And I've had that on projects before where someone walks in and records the meeting on their like a dictaphone. just so that there's no disputes later on. It's this kind of stuff happens all the time, negotiations and stuff like that. Like I see it, and it's when you refer it back. I mean, obviously, this is in this book where the scenario that what's in Chris I mean it, Chris Voss is coming from. It's a bit different because it's more like to be life or death. The industry I'm working in ain't life or death, but at the same time, it could cost thousands of pounds if you say or do the wrong thing or have the wrong thing in store without getting it ironed out properly. So yeah.
I was trying to look back to when I was working in education actually, and I couldn't think of a specific argument per se, and not that you need anything specific. But like if I was bringing it back to driving, and even the fact that I don't really like negotiation or don't really want to be in negotiations, I think you spoke on the cost of a negotiation, and for me, there's not much win or loss. You know, so like, I don't feel, there's not a real need to have a real negotiation with someone. Like if there's a request and if it's not too much out of my way, I'm happy to do it. Actually, this might go back on what I'm saying, but if it's going to be a massive cost, then of course I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? If it's going to cost me, I don't know, points or like a fine. So there's certain things I'm not negotiating with someone. But I'm not pulling up in no zigzag lines. I'm not going through no red lights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Things are quite black and white.
But the thing is with negotiating, it might not necessarily be... the example you give, let's just say it might be, as you gave earlier, it might be going to a shop and then going to another shop. That's the price. One example of my negotiations that I have in a day-to-day workplace, so I'll give you an example that's just come to mind. I ask, so... when you employ like a consultant to do some work for you, you give them a scope of services that they sign up to. Yeah. So there was like the scope of, so I asked for something to be done. The consultant came back to me and said, in the scope of services, it clearly says here in this heading, additional services which do not form part of this document, but might be called upon. And then the actual thing I was asking them to do was actually listed in that part of the document. So they said, it's going to cost you X amount. Yeah. I'll throw out an arbitrary figure. It's going to cost you $4,000. Might actually be the correct figure, but there we go. Allegedly. But yeah, it's going to cost you $4,000. In my head, I'm saying, straight away, I was like, $4,000's too much. Yeah? $4,000. But I didn't go back and say it like that. So basically, I said, we have a long working relationship with your consultancy. Not to mention, it's likely you will be employed on future projects with us. Not to mention, during the course of the project, we actually increased your fees by $6,000 due to this, this, and this. So I'd hope you could look into this and come to a more reasonable outcome in terms of the cost. So the guy come back to me and lowered the fee down to £1,500. Okay. So, and that's more reasonable. And now I can go and get approval for that. And what I can say is when I go and get approval for that, because it's still in my emails on my list to do, when I go and get approval for that, I can say, this is what he wanted. This is what I've got him down to. Can I have approval for him to do that service for me? Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's more like that. $4,000 was way too much in my head, and I probably would have got knocked back. But if I spell out, you know, during the course of the project, we've already given you additional $6,000. We've worked with your previous schemes. Upcoming schemes, you're obviously going to be considered. Blah, blah. And I've seen it before play out as well. Similar, in same world where like, we've had a consultancy who we've got employees on a scheme. They've asked for additional fees for something. And we've said, if you waive those additional fees, we have this project starting in 3 months and we'll get you on that project. Mm-hmm. And they've waived it because it makes more sense in the long run. They might have been asking for $5,000 additional fees to do this, but they're going to get paid $30,000 to be on this project. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It makes sense. Win-win. Because that project there might not have the financial capability of taking on that additional $5,000. It's a new project which can handle that $30,000. It's like, do you know what I'm saying? So that's like the more of the art of negotiation I'm thinking about. Do you get what I'm saying? Or kind of that happens in my everyday. Mm-hmm. Like trying to not just negotiate this cost X, but actually pull on a few, not heartstrings, but working like working partnerships, pull on a few maybe other schemes you're working on or we might potentially get you working on, all that kind of stuff you've got to think about.
Yeah, the principles remain the same.
Yeah.
In terms of getting to the emotional side and saying and that, thinking about like, listen, there's more money for you in the long run. Don't think about the short term.
Yeah.
He's already giving you a drink. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it'll make you think, like, when you read him back, when reading back, you'll be like, yeah, he's got a point there. He's got a point there. And he's already, he's basically saying without saying it that I'm going to get another job.
Exactly.
So let me just make sure that I nice him. So
yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. If you take a pit bull approach with another pit bull, you'll generally end up with a messy scene and lots of bruised feelings and resentment. Luckily, there's another way without all the mess. It's just four simple steps. Use the late night DJ voice. Start with I'm sorry. Mirror. Actually, let me label them. Number one, use the late night DJ voice. The late night DJ voice.
But you know when it said late night, I was like, what is a late night DJ voice? All I could think about was like a Heart FM or one of them, like, I can't remember what woman it was, but she'd be like, now with now just winding it down with it. Like, I don't know.
You need more of that.
Yeah,
kind
something
of
like that.
DJ's jazz on
yeah.
Ones and twos. All right, so number two, start with I'm sorry. Three, mirror. Four, silence. At least 4 seconds. Let the mirror work its magic on your counterpart. Then number five, repeat. So with that in mind, how easy is it for you to say sorry?
I can hand them out like confetti. it's not a problem. It's not a problem, boy. I really mean it. I'll think of the hiccups now. It's not a problem. It depends. Like, sometimes man would woi. Woi oi.
Where'd you clash yourself?
Yeah, I know.
Hold on, buddy.
You can have that one. Bam. Take that. Bam, take that.
Take that. Take
bro. Yeah, man. It's not, yeah. It depends on the scenario. Yeah, man can say sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, man can dish that out.
Man say that with a big grin. I
know. Dish that out, man.
I've got hella stories. Go on, B.
Yeah, no, again, I think my answer is quite short and sweet, really. In that, yeah, it's not really a big deal. And I don't want to, I don't know if we spoke about ego in the previous book, but ego don't get in the way in regards to me saying, sorry, I can give a monkey.
If you though. Randomly say that you're walking down the road, if you stood on a man or a woman's foot, would you say, so, are you a man? That's, you know, sometimes you sit on the train and a man might touch your foot. You must have had this and they don't say sorry. And I'm just
yeah,
you know, you stood on my foot.
Yeah. That's a, yeah.
Like, you know it. Like, man ain't gonna beef you over it, but at the least, just acknowledge the fact you stole my man's foot or something. Like, I don't know if that's happened. That's happened to man before.
100%, yeah.
Do you pull them up, or is it depend on how you're feeling on that day? I have and I haven't.
Depends. Sometimes I just let it go. It's like, not today. Then there's other times like you just stepped on. Like, it just depends.
Yeah.
Catch me in a good mood or not. Just let it go.
Yeah.
This brings me back to, like, I don't know if it's a British thing. It must be a British thing anyway. As to the, again, saying sorry repeatedly over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, even down to what I've been talking about a lot, as to on the road where people are not saying hello.
That got to me today. Goodbye, I thought of you.
Madness, man. Honestly.
I thought of you today when I was driving and I've let someone in who was in traffic and I've let them into the space just in front of me. I might just say thank you. And he didn't. I let it go. Because I'm getting a lot better at that.
Mm.
So I don't hold on to those things anymore. Like when I get road rage and start getting upset about bullshit. But in my mind, I was like, I could see this. Like if I was going through this all the time, like yourself, B, it would get frustrating. Like it would get very frustrating when you're just common courtesy. Just put on your hands and say thank you.
Put your hand up
and say thank you or...
I don't know, it makes a world of a difference.
It does.
People are moving mad. Today I let an E7 bus, like, needed me to let it go. Needed. You know when someone's struggling, no one's letting them through, and I didn't need to. Mm-hmm. But I said, you know, I'm going to slow down, flash them, go on through. Not one hand, not one thank you, no nothing. I said, okay, that's interesting. You are moving mad, you know.
Yeah.
You're right. See the story, because I'll just, there's bare times, you know, you might be both trying to go through a door. Oh, sorry. Bro, it's a proper British English thing, isn't it?
No, but then you say that because I don't know. Maybe as man's got older, it's probably perspective different. But I know at one point there was a point where it's just like, I know a few of the man them that was just refused to say sorry. Just over just like, just I refuse to say sorry.
As in they had a conversation with me and said, yo, in my day to day I don't say sorry.
Nah, but just in terms of like, it might be a case of explaining the situation. It could have been resolved with a sorry.
Yeah,
got
like,
you.
You could have just said sorry. But yeah it's like, nah, I'm not saying it though.
I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
and that's what sometimes people are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes.
Or you understand. That's it.
And the other person knows that you, or all it requires is a sorry, but because of ego.
Exactly. Because remember, if
but
you're
this
saying.
Is what I'm saying this is probably more back in the day. I don't know if it's the same case for everyone now.
Because sorry is essentially depends on the situation, the acknowledgement. Do you know what? I was in the wrong. Mm. But then you saying I'm the wrong kind of automatically refers that person was right. And maybe they don't want to give them that advantage or leeway or thing over them. I don't know.
Because maybe like, I'm not, maybe I'm quite sure. Like what you're speaking to, I guess, I'm sorry is not, I'm sorry I not hurt your feelings and I understand where you're coming from, but I still stand on what I said in the first place. I'm sorry is complete concede ground. Mm. You're right. I was wrong kind of thing.
Mm.
Back then, when we were a little bit younger,
yeah,
but there wasn't really a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, there wasn't so much.
Yeah.